Welcome to the Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the Grill Room is definitely on our tab. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Mr. Maselli goes to the White House, but both the LPGA Tour and the European Tour end their seasons, and Tiger has a new consultant, and boy, am I excited about that. That is going to be the missing piece that we've been looking for. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka here in the Grill Room, while my teammate Alex Maselli is taking trips to the White House. Can't wait any longer, Alex. What was it like?
Well, before I even get to that, I can't even believe you just told me that Tiger has now found the missing piece. That's hilarious. We'll get into that in a second. Bob, I've been to the White House for different things before, both sports-related and non-sports-related.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm just saying that was my, back in the day, was my job, part of my job, but... What I will say is, you know, when you don't go that often, it is always a thrill. I mean, I'm pulling out my camera phone and taking pictures and doing all the different things. And, you know, you got to be on your best behavior. You just never know when you're doing something wrong. You don't want to do anything wrong. And this is the White House, and they don't take kindly to doing anything incorrectly. And it's not like I'm, you know, trying to do anything stupid. But, you know, like yesterday, as an example, Charlie Sifford is in a wheelchair, and they have a gold braided rope that goes on one side, goes around, so you're on one side and the person you're interviewing is on the other side. Well, you know, between a couple of TV cameras and everything else, you can't really get to Charlie, so I have to go over the rope, and nobody said anything, but I'm just saying, it's just an example like that. You're a little hesitant to just kind of even go over the rope because you know that's not what the rope's there for you to just go over it. But, you know, it was a great experience. It was a long day. It's a lot of standing, a lot of waiting, which is what journalists actually do. But that being said, it was a great experience. Spent some time with Tom Brokaw, which we'll hear in a second, talking about Charlie Sifford and what Charlie had to go through. And then obviously seeing Charlie Sifford, only the third man to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, that's a golfer, and for his golf exploits. So it was a really good experience.
And the other two being Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. And please, let's just not refer to it as the rope. I mean, that was a gold rope in the White House, so you just didn't climb over a rope.
Well, you know, look, I didn't realize you were the wordsmiths, but I'll let it go there.
Well, anyway, let's pick it up with Charlie Sifford. He does receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Barack Obama, and the medal represents the country's highest honor for a civilian. Charlie, 92 years old, was one of 18 recipients of the 2014 Presidential Medal of Freedom. He was the lone sports figure and a pioneering one, to say the least.
I think, Bob, the thing that was interesting is Charlie Sifford was one of many different people in that room that day. I mean, there were supposed to be 19. Stephen Sondheim couldn't make it, so he's going to get an award in 2015. But there were civil rights activists, there were writers, there were economists, a Nobel-winning economist. There were, Stevie Wonder was there, a great musician, Meryl Streep, an actress, Marlo Thomas was there, and then Tom Brokaw. So, I mean, it was a litany of everybody in the U.S. It included everyone, and that was what was so interesting about it.
And, of course, you had an opportunity to speak with Tom Brokaw about what was going on.
Charlie, at 92, has a hard time articulating about being a Medal of Honor winner. Can you talk about just what this is all about and what it's like?
Well, this is the highest civilian award that you can get, and Charlie Sifford and that generation of African-American athletes. I was a keen student of them. Jackie Robinson was almost a religious figure for me. I mean, I lived and breathed Jackie Robinson. And when I got a little older and appreciated the kind of skills that they had, and then the rejection that they felt just simply because of the pigment of their skin, you know, it was an outrage. I mean, I remember the days when I would follow the Harlem Globetrotters wherever they played, and I thought, why aren't they in the NBA? You know, I mean, all those great players. And I watched it carefully over the years, and later I became very close to Rafer Johnson, who was one of our great decathlon athletes. And I said, what was the impact on your life? I mean, you were trying to become a great athlete. And he said, they motivated me like you can't. Those heroes of mine, you know, took me to the next level, because there were things that were being opened to me that were not open to them because of them, and I owed them something. So I think that's a commentary on who they were. And Mr. Sippert, you know, I remember him very well when he was playing golf. He was a wonderful golfer. And the idea that he couldn't eat in a restaurant or get into a club, you know, thank God we're beyond that.
Great interview there by Alex. In reality, Charlie Sippert just wanted to play golf. He risked everything to do so. Once again, a big Grill Room salute to Charlie Sippert.
Hi, you're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for visual advantage and powered by Golf Week. Heard on TuneIn Radio, please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show. When we come back, around the world of golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
All right, we're back in the Grill Room. Alex Maselli and Bob Twisted Tongue Bupka. Two tours finished this season. Finally, the Tour Championships for the LPGA Tour, the race to CME Globe, and the European Tour and the race to Dubai. Bobby, let's start with the LPGA Tour. 2014 Louise Suggs LPGA Tour Rookie of the Year. Lydia Ko wins it all in a playoff. I thought it was pretty interesting. Lydia Ko just didn't have the longest game out there, but certainly was the one that controlled her emotions the best in the playoff.
You know, Alex, I have to ask you this. Are we truly recognizing the greatness of this young lady? I mean, only one person has won on the LPGA Tour before their 18th birthday, and that's Alexi Thompson. And, you know, Lydia Ko has won at least four times before her 18th birthday. I mean, she is absolutely incredible.
Well, you know, I don't want to say, you know, one season does not make greatness. But certainly when you see how she played, her ability to control her emotions, winning, you know, in a situation where she'd already won $1 million, knowing that, in the bonus pool, and then turning around and winning the tournament with another $500,000, never being in trouble, always controlling the golf ball, every shot in that playoff, on a golf hole that was very difficult, and then winning, as you said, so many times before she's turned 18, certainly she's on the right track. There's no question about that. But I don't want to go with the greatness issue. I think what I want to say is that Lydia Ko has shown and justified, because I think you had an argument about this, justified the fact that the LPGA gave her an exemption to play as a professional on that tour.
Well, I was completely for it. I know you always are a proponent of an age restriction, but I always believe that if you're good enough, go out there and play. And speaking of good enough, Alex,
revisionist history, I think, is what that's called.
Hey, listen, the one stat that really blows me away, she starts 40 times on the LPGA Tour. She's a young kid. She never misses a cut. I mean, that's mind-boggling.
Well, look, her game alone, even her bad game, is better than most women's decent game out there. So that doesn't surprise me that she doesn't miss a cut. However, You know, that's Tiger-esque, actually. You know, it was one of the things that Tiger did so well. He'd always show up to a golf tournament. He may not have his best stuff, but he always showed up to a golf tournament. And clearly Lydia Ko is doing the same thing. So let's hear what she can, what she thinks she can do to top her 2014 season.
It's gonna be tough. Yeah. No, I think I played pretty awesome this year, and I've had like 14 top tens and, you know, 3 wins. It's a year that I would have never thought that I would have, and you know, it's a hard year to top off, and you know, just playing consistently is my goal for my whole career, I think.
All right, Bob, as I said earlier, 4-hole playoff against 2 other players, Granada and Saganda. And, you know, what I will say there is that, again, Lydia Ko was not the longest off the tee. She had to hit, she's got something like 6 head covers in her bag, not including the one for her putter. So she doesn't use a lot of iron shots. But she continued to control the golf ball, continued to put it in the places that she needed to put it on, and continued to give herself chances at least making a birdie and winning the golf tournament.
You know what really amazed me? They had to play the 18th hole, played it 4 times. In all 4 drives on the playoff holes, Lydia Ko was within 1 yard of the other previous drives. I mean, and of course, in the middle of the fairway. I mean, that is just... So displaying so much talent that it's not even real. And the final Rolex standings, Alex, you know him well. MB Park finishes the year ranked number 1. No surprise there. Followed by number 2, Stacey Lewis. And number 3, Lydia Ko. Congratulations to the LPGA Tour, to Michael Wan. It was a great, great year. We can only expect bigger and better things next year. Let's go to the European Tour, where Rory McIlroy wins the race to Dubai, and here's what he had to say.
It's very special. You know, the race to Dubai is something that's very important to the players, and it's one of your main objectives starting out every year. And to be able to win is nice. It's a bonus. To finish, you know, the second time in 3 years as Europe's number 1, and I think the youngest to win 2 European Tour titles or race to Dubai is something that's quite nice too. So, you know, a great way to finish the season.
All right, so McIlroy wins the race to Dubai, but a familiar name, Alex, wins the DP World Tour Championship. Somebody that we're getting to recognize as certainly one of the top golfers in the world.
Well, you know, Henrik Stenson was defending and really played very well in Turkey, especially down the stretch. Didn't get it done. So he comes to Dubai and wins again in a pretty interesting fashion, having to, I think there were like 3 or 4 people tied for the lead on the 16th hole. And he went ahead and birdied on 18 to win by 2. But the most interesting thing to me about Henrik Stenson is the fact that in talking to Ian Poulter, I think it was Saturday night in Turkey, how often he will come start the round with 14 clubs and end the round with less.
He loses them or breaks them?
He breaks them.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a pretty good idea. If you hit a bad shot, break the club, then you'll never hit another bad shot with that club. I like that.
Yeah, well, I think he brings a lot more clubs to a tournament than most guys do. I'm going to inquire about that when I get on the road next year. But let's hear what Stenson had to say about his victory, moving him, by the way, to number 2 in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great week. I came here with a purpose, and I've kind of put my mind to trying to give it my all this last week here, and to manage to come through then is very special, and I'm very delighted. Yeah, it was always going to be a strong leaderboard here, and it just makes it that extra bit special when you're winning a tournament where you've got all the top players up there and competing for the win. And I feel for Rafa. He played some great golf this week, but got off to bad finish there on 16 and 17, and we all done that, so we know how that feels. But he'll come back again. He's a great player, and I'm just very happy with my performance there and to have beaten my friends and colleagues.
All right, that was Henrik Stenson, number 2 in the world, Bobby, right behind Rory McIlroy and right in front of Adam Scott, who he displaced after Adam Scott couldn't get it done in Australia. Champions Tour had its Q school, and we talked about this in the past, Bob, the fact that it is so hard to get a spot at a Champions Tour event. Frank Esposito was the medalist honors. Grant Waite, which everybody knows from New Zealand, 7 birdies to get it done. Final round 66, finished second. Jeff Costin, Jerry Smith, and Rod Spittle were the 5 that will get their cards. Conditional exemptions go to Jim Rutledge, John Rieger, Joel Edwards, Jeff Freeman, Rick Gibson, Cesar Monstario, is that who it is? Duck Roberg, Craig Thomas, to round out the 12 players, and then everybody else gets the chance to go ahead and open qualify. That was what happened to those other 30. I'll tell you, Bob, if I had to play golf over 50 as a professional, I would be pulling any hair that I had left out.
Well, you don't have many to pull, so and you certainly don't have to worry about playing golf on the Champions Tour. I'm still reeling from your statement before. Saturday night in Turkey. Do you know how few people ever get to say something like that? Saturday night in Turkey. By the way, Frank Esposito, you know, the week before, he won the National Club Pro Championship. Then he goes and wins the Champions Tour qualifying. Man, this guy can flat out play.
I guess he can. Hey, web.com, Q School, the field is set. The finals are December 11th to 16th at PGA National in Palm Beach Gardens. What a difficult golf course that is. Just watch every year at the Honda Classic. One guy that I know is there is Mike Van Sickle, Gary Van Sickle's son. Mike has struggled a lot trying to get his game and trying to find a place to play as a professional. This is his biggest opportunity if he can get it done. He gets into web.com, which would be a huge, huge plus. I think for most of these guys, Bob, if they just have a consistent place to play, that gives them the opportunity to really shine. But if you can't find that consistent place to play, you're going to end up being a club pro somewhere.
Yeah, it's very difficult chasing tournaments around the world. We wish Gary and his son Mike, who is an All-American at Marquette, the very best in that Q school. Hopefully we'll be able to follow him on the web.com tour next year. When we return, we'll visit with Dr. Keith Smithson as he explains why Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses are ideal for the changing light conditions found on the golf course.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and powered by Golf Week. Heard on TuneIn Radio. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Want to improve your golf game? Improve your vision. Callaway and Transitions Optical have created Callaway Neox Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, designed to enhance visual performance while playing golf. They automatically adjust color and darkness, sharpen depth perception, and offer superior clarity. You'll have more accurate distance vision and be better able to see the terrain and contours all day, regardless of weather and light conditions. Buy Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses at CallawayGolf.com or learn where to get a pair in your prescription at transitions.com/sunwear/Neox.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, we're back in The Grill Room. Dr. Keith Smithson explains why Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses are ideal for the changing light conditions experienced while playing golf.
In a sport like golf, which is obviously visually demanding and has a lot of other visually demanding important qualities, you know, some of the other things that we look at are things like depth perception and the way that we actually pinpoint targets, you know, looking at the pin location on the green and being able to truly and accurately assess where that is. And you know, we all have range finders and things this way that help us with that, but can we read the sloping properly? Are we going to get the backspin on the ball right? You know, we're looking at depth perception and muscular components and, you know, some of the other things with contrast enhancement and being able to see and read shadowing on greens. And, yeah, I mean, to me, that's one of the most challenging factors in the sport of golf. So it's very difficult sometimes to have someone walk out with a pair of glasses, let's say they're sunglasses, and they're a solid standard tint that's the same consistently across the board, meaning that it doesn't change. So the problem with the round of golf over that wide variable lighting condition is that if the lens itself doesn't change, then we're stuck with looking through a consistent tint when that may not be the right thing to do. So the nice thing about transition technology is transition lenses actually darken and lighten based on UV light exposure. So as we're outside playing around a golf, if the sun and clouds, you know, do vary through that round, if the clouds are coming over, if it's sort of an overcast day and we're getting a lot of shadowing and things that way, then what happens is the lens itself is actually a lighter shade of tint, so it's closer to being clear. As the UV comes back out, as the lens is actually activated from that UV lighting, there's photochromic crystals in the lens that actually do activate. There's now even a polarized state that that lens can go into. So there's a lot of things that that lens does to actually vary based on the lighting conditions. So when we're under those brightest conditions, the lens is at its darkest and doing the most sun filtration. If the bright light is now at its least, now we have that lens at a much more gradual or much more you know, gradient sort of tint. So it's a wonderful product, and it works great for the game of golf.
I want to thank Dr. Smithen for his keen insight, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go inside Golf Week with Alex Maselli. His stories both on Susie Whaley, the first woman to be elected into the PGA of America top leadership program, and Ted Bishop. Alex had several hours that he was able to spend with Ted Bishop. Going to be interested in what he has to say. You know, he was just dismissed as president of the PGA of America. All that and more when The Grill Room returns. You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and powered by Golf Week. Heard on TuneIn. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Rapidly becoming one of the favorite spots on the Grill Room Golf Show, and that is when we go inside Golf Week. And this week, Alex has a couple of great stories. First on Susie Whaley, who was elected as Secretary of the PGA of America, but if all goes well, 4 years from now, she's going to be President of the PGA of America, the first female ever to hold that distinction. You had a chance to talk with her. Give us some overview, Alex.
Well, you know, I think it was interesting. I had written, I think over a month ago, that there were three candidates for Secretary of the PGA of America, and she was the leader in the clubhouse. And actually, the person that said that to me that at the time said that they wanted to be off the record, or not off the record, but not attributed to them, because they didn't want to feel like they were somehow involved with endorsing her, was actually Ted Bishop. Ted Bishop had known her for a long time, had and actually installed her in certain committees on the PGA of America that he thought she would be very good at. Derek Sprague, who is now the current president of the PGA of America, had spent some time with her. She actually followed him as the president of the head of the district, or section in the Northeast. So they were both familiar with her for a long time, and both thought that she would be a great candidate, but didn't want to endorse her in either way. But then when the whole thing went down with Ted Bishop and the tweet, the infamous tweet, Susie Whaley went out there and ruffled some of the PGA of America feathers. Some of the people that were there were not happy with some of the comments she had made. And it seemed like maybe the election might be a lot closer than we had anticipated. And when we got there, it's kind of an interesting way they do it. They all get up, everybody, you know, they give campaign speeches days before. Then in turn, they vote on Saturday afternoon after the president and the vice president have been installed. And it's all electronic, and it takes about 30 seconds. They got 30 seconds to vote, Bob, and within 30 seconds you knew that Susie Whaley had won. And I think she was surprised. I think a lot of people were surprised, thinking that maybe it would be a little closer, it might take a little longer. I always thought that she was probably going to win. Now the question is what she will do and what does she want to do. You know, currently, the PGA of America's amount of membership that are women, out of 28,000 members of the PGA of America, only 1,100 are women. That's 4%. Out of the 114 delegates that could vote on Saturday for the secretary position, only three of them were women. And Dottie Pepper had already come out for Russ Libby, who was one of the other candidates. So that means only two women had the opportunity. She only really got, likely, only two women's votes. She had to get certainly many more male votes. So, you know, the question is what is she going to do, or does she feel like it's necessary to try to change that dynamic? Do we need to have more women in the LPGA or in the PGA of America? And the PGA of America in general has talked about inclusion and trying to find ways to get more and more minorities and women into not only the PGA of America but in the sport in general. And I really believe that that's what their goal and their mission is. Susie Whaley talked about the fact that if I walk into a pro shop and I see a woman, then I'm going to be more comfortable coming into a pro shop or coming to a golf course if I'm a woman. And I think it's the same thing if I happen to be black or if I have to be Hispanic. It's just it's more comforting. It's more you feel better about the situation than if you just roll in and it's the same white guy behind the desk. And I mean, that's basically what they're talking about. So if you see more women that are involved in the game in either at pro ranks or at teaching ranks, you're going to feel more inclusive. You're going to feel more comfortable. And that's that they hope will then actually bring more women into the game. And that's basically where we're at. If Susie Whaley can do that by being the secretary, I think they'd all be happy about that. But I think it's a much longer-term process than just that. And in talking to Charlie Siffert, as we talked about earlier, one of the things that I asked him are we doing enough to bring more black athletes into golf? And his answer was somewhat. It's a very difficult thing to bring anybody into the game of golf. It doesn't matter who it is. But certainly you're at a disadvantage to some extent if you're black or Hispanic or a woman. And I think those are the things that the PGA of America wants to try to address.
Well, we certainly wish Susie Whaley the best of luck. I've had an opportunity to be with her, have some discussions over the years, and certainly a very impressive figure. Let's move right along, Alex. I know you had an opportunity to go spend some time with Ted Bishop. How's he doing in the aftermath of what transpired as he was removed as president of the PGA of America?
Well, you know, Bob, I was kind of surprised. I think he was doing reasonably well. Obviously, last week was a very, very difficult week for Ted Bishop. I visited him on Friday, and that evening was supposed to be his big dinner, his send-off dinner and a roast and everything that would be involved with, you know, sending off a president for being there for 2 years. And in turn, there was no dinner on Friday night, and Ted Bishop took it in stride. I mean, he was We didn't talk a lot about the annual meeting that was happening just 30 minutes away from his golf club, the Legends Golf Club down in Franklin. We talked about a lot of different things. But his focus is moving forward. His focus is on his club. His focus is on his business. His focus is on his family. And what happened at the PGA of America was unfortunate. I think that's fair. I think that Ted has heard from a lot of people that have been supportive of him and felt like what happened to him was way over the top. But that being said, none of those people seem to have a vote in that room when the board decided to push him out of office. So Ted is accepting that moving forward, and I think he's going to be fine. I think in the end, his legacy will live on, and I think we will understand much more about what Ted Bishop did for the PGA of America in his tenure, his 23-month tenure, and how important that was. And I think he believes that as well, and he feels comfortable living on his record, and as well, he's comfortable with moving on.
Yeah, and he still said he's very proud to still be a member of the PGA of America. Ted Bishop had always been very accommodating to the Grill Room, and we appreciate that and wish Ted the very best as he moves forward. You're listening to the Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and powered by Golf Week. Heard on TuneIn. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show. There's a lot of news in the news and notes segment. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tackle that assignment.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Okay, big smile on the face of Alex Maselli because it's news and notes time on the Grill Room. And let's begin with a very nice story. The PGA of America establishes the Deacon Palmer Award. Deacon Palmer being the dad of Arnold Palmer, and of course Arnie, the first recipient.
Well, it was a nice thing, and again, here's a great example of something that Ted Bishop did. This was Ted Bishop's idea from day one, and unfortunately, he wasn't there. But you know, this is a situation where there was—I'm not sure I want to say an injustice, but a situation where Arnold believed that his father was not treated fairly by the PGA of America back in the day, and Ted Bishop kind of investigated, looked into it, and just believed that the best way to handle it is to create this award, which they named after Deacon Palmer. And, you know, it's the little things like this that makes the difference in what the PGA of America is and who they are, and it's the little things like this that make a difference in what Ted Bishop did as president. And so, you know, if I'm looking at what he did in a tweet or I look at something like this, no question, he did a great job here. And this was a great decision by the PGA of America to go ahead and honor Deacon Palmer.
Well, the next item on news and notes, many may think it's a small item, newsworthy, but
absolutely not newsworthy.
But I am on the inside, and this probably is the most fantastic thing that's happening probably since 2008, and I'm referring to Tiger not hiring a new coach because he's had Butch Harmon, he's had Hank Haney, he's had Sean Foley, but now he's elevated himself to getting a swing consultant. He's not a method teacher. He's going to be able to tell Tiger, I want that club here, there, and boom, off the club face it goes. Tiger, I guess right now, I think they're readjusting the odds in Las Vegas. Got to be the overwhelming favorite to win the upcoming Masters.
You know, I don't know what to do with that. I mean, there's so many different ways I can go with this. First of all, it's a big story because it's Tiger. If it was anybody else, nobody would care. Quite honestly, no one basically knows who this Chris Cuomo guy is. And when you talk to people about him, he is clearly almost like a Sean Foley disciple in a lot of ways, but even more over his skis on the technology standpoint than even Foley was. That being said, I mean, most people believe that Tiger doesn't need a swing coach, so this idea that he's getting a swing consultant is quite interesting. We'll just see what happens. But I can tell you right now, there's nobody in Vegas suggesting that they're changing the odds on the first major of the year, which is the Masters, 5-1 Rory McIlroy, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, Bobby.
Well, we'll get a little glimpse of the early progress Chris Cuomo is going to have on Tiger when Tiger plays in his event, which is going to be held down in Florida the first week of December. I just hope Tiger doesn't show too much and keep stuff in the bag, because if he shows his full arsenal, I mean, it'll be ridiculous. Las Vegas liable to go broke with all the people that'll be willing to bet on him.
I'd be very concerned as well. I don't want him to show his full arsenal, Bobby. God forbid where that would happen.
All right, let's move along to the Open. It begins in Australia. Three players playing down there that not otherwise qualified will earn spots into the 2015 Open Championship field at St. Andrews. Boy, that's a nice avenue for three players.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. I mean, I guess, you know, the RNA decided that this was the best way to go, and they do this throughout the year. But to think that a person that actually could qualify for the Open Championship by their play in December is quite odd. But still, that being said, you know, I like the way that the RNA does it. I think that it's a good way. And I think they've gotten better and better fields because of it. And this is just one of many of their, what they call their Open qualifying series. It will be the Australian Open, the Thailand Golf Championship, the Joburg Open in February, the Mizuno Open in Japan in May. And then, of course, we have events here in the U.S. as well. So it'll be quite interesting to see what happens, but we'll wait and see who the three will be that are otherwise not qualified, considering both Adam Scott and Rory McIlroy in that field this week.
All right, and the European Tour events that will serve as Open qualifying include the Irish Open, which is going to be hosted by the Rory Foundation in July, the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open, and that's held the week before the Open Championship in July. And as you mentioned, Alex, on the PGA Tour, the events are the Travelers Championship in June, replacing Quicken Loans National, and the Greenbrier Classic and the John Deere Classic in July.
Let's move on. Fox Sports added more names to their roster last week. Steve Flesch, the left-hander. Shane O'Donohue, who moves from CNN to Fox. And then Corey Pavin, who won a U.S. Open, will be a studio analyst for the 2015 U.S. Open at Chambers Bay. And they join Joe Buck, Greg Norman, Brad Faxon, and David Fay, and Holly Saunders. Not necessarily the group you would have thought would have shown up at the end of the day, but that's what Fox is going with, and we'll see how that goes.
All right, the Forbes annual report is out, and Alex Maselli's name is definitely on there. But the most valuable individual brands in sports right now is LeBron James. He's topping Tiger until Tiger has ample time to work with that swing consultant, and then Tiger will be right back on top. Good luck to LeBron James.
Bobby, let's just clear this up right now. LeBron James versus Tiger Woods. Tiger's been on that list for a long time. You can't stay there forever, just like you can't stay there forever in the world rankings. Tiger will never be able to take it back. He can't even get, you know, appearance fees or anything like that. He is just not the same person. The interest level in Tiger is there, but not to the extent it had been there in the past. Now in golf, the interest level is more of a Rory McIlroy or an Adam Scott, and we'll see what happens. But Tiger Woods is going to have to do a lot to jump back up into that position he was in back in the old days.
Just wait and see. You'll watch it happen. Hey, tell us, Alex, some European Tour. The European Tour is going to have some new events next year.
We talked about some of these during the year, the Thailand Classic in February, the Hero Indian Open in February, the Shenzhen International in April, the AfroAsia Bank Mauritius Open in May, the Saltaire Energy Paul Laurie Match Play in July, and the European Open in September. The Match Play one is kind of interesting because it's 64 guys. It is up against the Bridgestone Invitational, I believe it is. But it's there because they just felt like they wanted to have something else for their players to have an opportunity to play, and we have done this in the past as well. So this is George O'Grady's swan song, I guess you'd say, adding six new events, which is certainly a positive, just like Michael Wan has done as well. He's added, I think, one or two more to the LPGA schedule. Well, Bob, that's it for news and notes, and that's it for the week. You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and powered by Golf Week, where you get the inside story every week.
A big thank you to our partners, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, and to Golf Week. So for Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf, on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show, and on golfweek.com. And most important, a very happy Thanksgiving from the entire Grill Room family.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.